Lord bless each and every one tonight. Maybe just as we're standing tonight, we'll just bow our heads a moment before we open God's word tonight. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks, Lord, again tonight that we could be gathered here, Lord, to exalt thy holy name, Lord. Lord, we say with thy psalmist, holy and reverent is thy name. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that there's mercy and grace in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll touch each and every one tonight, Lord. I pray that you'll encourage. Lord, I pray you'll heal, save, and deliver in Jesus' precious name. Lord, undertake tonight, Lord. Meet every need, I pray, in this place, Lord. Help me tonight, Lord, to step aside. Let only anything that's edifying, Lord, stay in our minds and in our thoughts, Lord. Let every vain imagination be cast down in Jesus' precious name. But Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your grace. Now help us, Lord, as we open your word, Lord, and feed upon your word tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I want tonight to turn in our Bibles to John. I don't even know where this is going to really be much of a message or what it's going to be quite honest, because the only thing that I can keep thinking about is a man called Jesus. That's the only thing I can think about, a man called Jesus. So tonight, if we turn our Bibles to John chapter 9, and we'll just read verses 11, but then I'm going to go back on the whole background of the story, as it were. But I want to jump to the where I got my title, as it were, from John chapter 9 and verses 11. And it says, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Amen. I received sight. Amen. You may take your seats tonight. You know, when Jesus comes on the scene, something good is going to happen. Something good happens every time Jesus comes on the scene. You know, and I want to say tonight that once upon a time, I bowed my knee and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I received my sight. You know, I never really was naturally or physically blind, but I was spiritually blind. I was spiritually dead, and I was going to die physically as well. And you know, if the Lord doesn't come, we will die physically. But you know, there's a day of resurrection if you've got Christ in your life. But without Christ, you're dead. You're a dead man walking. You know, it says in the Bible that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. The day that I bowed my knee and accepted Christ as my Savior, I received sight. You know, there was one time where I almost was blinded. I opened up a bag of hydrated lime one time and I went clean into my two eyes and I could see nothing. Not a thing could I see. And I had the children with me that day and I was working at the yard and I had the gate after the lagoon, and I thought to myself, I better try and put the gate back in the lagoon. Because once I let the cow, if the cows get out, they'll go into the lagoon and something, they'll be drowned. And then I said, what am I going to do? How am I going to get away from here? And my phone rang, but I couldn't see the phone, but I was able to answer it. And it was my wife. And she rang me and she said, is everything going all right? I says, no, not going great at all. I says, I can't see a thing. All I could see was a white blur. You know, and I went to the hospital and went down, first of all, to Lagan Valley at the time. And they done their best. But she said, your left eye is very badly damaged. You're going to have to go straight to the Royal. And I went down to the Royal, and I remember my daughter Rachel took me by the hand and led me. I was like a blind man. I couldn't really see. But you know, when your man got me in there and then he got all the stuff cleaned out of my eyes, I got to be that I could see. But they said, your left eye is damaged. And you know, my brother Rock was living at the time. And I said to Rock about it, and he prayed for me. And I says, when we go back now, we'll be getting a different report. So I went back down and they done an eye test at the very end of everything, when my eye and all healed up, and I had 20/20 vision in both eyes again, 100%, because the Lord touched me. You know, when Linda was at work at the time, there's a fella at work said that he knew a fella and he got a small bit of lime in his eye when he was playing rugby, and his eye never was right the rest of his life. The devil want to tell you, if you've ever had an infliction, now you'll never be right. But when God heals you, you'll be right. When God touches you, you'll be fine. You'll not have a weakness. As a matter of fact, it might even be better. When God does something, he does it right. He doesn't do it by half. And this man here, if we go back now to chapter 9 here, and we go back to the start of the verse, we'll read it chapter 1, and we'll read down maybe to back to where we started, as it were, on chapter or verses 1, sorry, and it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." What does that tell you tonight? What is the works of God? What is the works of God? The works of God is to heal your body. The works of God is to give you your sight. The works of God isn't to put a blinker on you, or put a blind on you, or put a halter on you, or put a weight on you. But the works of God, he said he was there to work the works of God. And it says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were sick, and delivering those that were oppressed, and, you know, setting the captives free. That's the works of God. He says that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. The works of him that sent me. Now, if God ever healed one time, he can heal again. God doesn't change his mind. He doesn't decide one day one thing and change his mind the next day. You know, like John said this morning, you know, some people could be changed from every doctrine. The devil has got smoke signals and scarecrows all over the world at the minute. A smoke signal, when the men are going in the bottle, they'll put a smoke bomb down to try and confuse the enemy. A disguise. The devil wants to put a smoke signal over your two eyes and disguise what's actually happening. He wants you to rock you to sleep. He wants you to say, bend a wee bit and give a wee bit and give a wee bit here and a wee bit there. And the next thing you know, you'll be back to where you started. You know, when you make a decision to follow God, don't change your mind. Make a decision and stick with it. Make the decision and stick with it. Your friends might say it's not cool, it's not great, it's not what you want to be doing. You should be going out and doing this and doing that. You know, the other day I phoned a fella because I would sort of know the family. A young fella, only 18 years of age, travelling in a car, and the car went over the hedge and I swept out into eternity. And I don't know where that lad ever would have had the chance to hear the gospel. But anything can happen at any time. It doesn't matter what age you are. You might say, oh, I'm only young, I've got the whole life ahead of me. The devil will tell you you're only young, you've got the whole life ahead of you. But if anything happened, where would your soul be? You have to make a decision for Christ. You know, when Jesus says here, he says, I must work. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me. So the works of him that sent him, what was that? He healed the man. He delivered the man. So when you get a skeptic telling you that God doesn't heal, that means he changed his mind somewhere. And I can't find anywhere in the Bible where the apostles or anyone ever said that God couldn't heal. There's nowhere that he said in his word that he was taking out healing. He said he would add it on to the church. It says it was added on to the church such as should be saved. And the man of God worked the works of God the same as what Jesus done. He says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to do anything better than Jesus, but you know, you'll do more. There'll be more works that'll take place if you believe God. He says then on down here, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he that thus spake, he spat on the ground and made a clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He sent him. He sent him to somewhere to wash the clay. Somebody would have probably said, look at that there. He spat on the ground and made clay and rubbed it in his eyes. You know, all the bystanders might have said, who is this fella to do such a thing as that? It says then that he sent him. And then it says that he went and he washed. And he came saying, he got deliverance. And it says then, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind said, is not this the man that sat at and begged? Some said this is... Others said, some said this is, and others said, looks like him. But he said, I am he. You know, they maybe said, oh, it's not really him. No, that wasn't him. Why, that wouldn't happen. No. You know, we heard the news that another eyewitness of what God done in the 20th century has passed into eternity. He's passed on from this scene of time. I believe he's promoted into heaven. Brother Billy Paul Branham. Another eyewitness. You know, and imagine the amount of eyewitnesses now. There's people that are passing on from the scene of time that witnessed what God done then. You know, and the further you get away from that, then the more people will maybe come and put up a smoke signal or a scarecrow and say, oh, we don't think this was right and that was right. But then what are they doing? What could they do? If you brought somebody to them, you know, one time there's a little girl come to Brother Branham blind with not even sockets in her eyes. Billy Paul gave the testimony. And she come down and she said she wanted sight. When he started to pray, he stopped. He said, I forgot to ask you, what color eyes did you want? What color eyes did you want? Well, heavens, there's not an our ministry like it. You know, but we're not exalting the man. You know, we don't exalt this man, but there's only one man we can glorify, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But we'll exalt and glorify the works that God does, because that's the same works that Jesus done. So I'll identify with that work. You know, and then another little girl come with a wee shoebox under her arm. You know, she come along and she said, he said, what do you want? She hadn't her feet. I don't know why she hadn't got feet, or she's crippled in her feet. But he said, you know, go you and stand over there a while, your faith comes up. She stood over there for a while, and the line went through, and prayer line, and his brother, Donnie, it was William Branham's brother, was standing there. And he thought to himself, he says, he's put her off to the crowd, might forget about her now. You know, and he's forgot about her. He's not going to do it. And he turned around and he says, I haven't forgot about her. Bring her up here. And the wee girl was healed and put her shoes on and walked off the pulpit. That's the power of God. Amen. There's no reason why we can't have the same power of God now, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed his mind. But the problem is we've got a field full of scarecrows. We've got decoys. A decoy will lure you in and then get you shot. When you put a decoy in the field for pigeons or crows, you lure them in to gun range and then you shoot them. When you've got vermin coming into a field of barley, then you set out a decoy for them to decoy them in. The enemy wants to decoy you in, and then when he gets you in range, he'll cripple you. You know, my father always said, if you're on the table, on the boys on the ground, it's easier for him to pull you off the table than it is for you to pull him onto the table. You know, that's why the man said, you can't walk with turkeys and cluck with chickens and fly with eagles. It doesn't work. An eagle has no fellowship with a chicken or a turkey. It can't, they don't have no, there's nothing in common. The eagle wants to go and fly, he wants to eat meat. The turkey, he wants to claw about and gobble, gobble. The chicken, he wants to hook about and fly on off a perch. They don't have the power to fly the way an eagle can. And then when they, you know, when they get a lump of meat, that'll stick in their throat. Like the man one time, he gave the boy the book, and he read the book and he brought it back. He says, that boy called me a buzzard. He says, when I read the book, he called me an eagle. Two different characters, two different outlooks. You know, you don't want to be a buzzard, you want to be an eagle. An eagle can fly up above all the storm and fly up above all the situation. He doesn't get caught in it. You know, like that was a good song that our brother wrote one time. Overcomers never walk backwards. They never take the long way around. They go straight up and over, and the crisis is beneath them on the ground. You know, he said on down here in verses 10, verses 9, he said, some said this is he. Others said he's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. And he said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. There was no messing about. But you know, wouldn't you think that everybody had been glorifying God when they heard of such a notable miracle? No, they didn't. All the skeptics crawled out of the woodwork. All the scoffers and mockers will turn up. If you ever say that God ever done something, well, are you sure really it happened? You know, it's like the boy says, I'm saved because I was there when it happened. The song says, I know I'm saved because I was there when it happened.
Amen.
When the devil comes and tells you, you sure you're saved? Yes, I am. Because I was there when it happened, devil. I was the one that accepted Christ. It wasn't my mommy, it wasn't my daddy, it wasn't my uncle, it was nobody else. I accepted Christ for myself. And you must also accept Christ for yourself. When you've got a personal experience, there's nobody in the world who's going to tell you you don't have it. There's nobody going to tell you if you've got a hand. They're not going to say you don't really think you have a hand, because you know you actually have it. And when you've got Christ, it's as good as any part on you. It's a reality. It's not a fable. You know what it says then, if we read on down here in verses 12. We'll read right on down to a good bit of this here. Right on down, verse 12, he says, "Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought him to the Pharisees." They brought him to the Pharisees, him that after time was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, "He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and did see." Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." They were the religious characters. Oh, that boy couldn't be of God, because I seen he done such a thing. He couldn't be of God because he healed somebody on the Sabbath day, like Jesus said to them in another place. If your donkey fell into the ditch, would you leave him on the Sabbath day? Would you go and pull him out? You know, would you not go and help someone? Or would you say, "I'm too holy and too religious, I couldn't do it on the Sabbath day"? You know, in another place, they condemned them for walking through a field of corn and ticking the ears of the corn and eating it on the Sabbath day. They were so religious. Like some people today are so religious. So religious that if it doesn't suit their agenda, they can't accept it. He says then here, and it was on the Sabbath day. And again the Pharisees also in verses 15, then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. You know, like Jack Coe one time, I think it was, gave the testimony about the wee woman that had the problem. And you know, they got this man that she'd done everything with the doctors and she never was healed. And then the man come and prayed for her. And she said she felt something go through you. And your man says, "That's when he gave you the shot." The doctor says, "That's when he gave you the shot. He injected you with something." And the young fella said, "Well, how come she's been seeing you for years? And you never gave her a shot like that." And then they said, you know, it wasn't them boys down in the corner, because they believe that if you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. And the young fella says, "I was at Bible college. And we have just studied the Bible. And we have just found out that scripture wasn't inspired. It wasn't really in the original writings." And the young man, the mother said, "Well, glory to God." And he says, "What do you mean, glory to God? Well, if God could heal me with a scripture that wasn't inspired, what could he do with one that was inspired?" Amen. Faith in God can move mountains. That's what Jesus said. Faith as a grain of mustard seed. And that's not very big. You know, have you ever seen a wee grain of mustard seed? It's very, very tiny. It's not very big. But you know, anything that is a germ of life, I said it before. You know, I think it was in some of the tombs, the Egyptians, they found this wee box. It was rotted completely nearly away. And they found these wee black things. They thought they were wee bits of dust and dirt. And they just opened it up. But when the moisture hit it, there was still a wee germ of life in it. It actually was a wee bit of corn. But it had withered away, and it was, I don't know how many years of age it wasn't, but there was life in that wee gem of corn. There was life in that wee seed. When there's a wee bit of life, God can move. When there's a wee bit of life in you, God will bring that wee bit of life to pass. When you accept him, he puts life in you. Doesn't matter how it might look, it might lay dormant for years. But when you accept Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. You're saved. You're set free. You mightn't feel it. You might not look like it at the time. But you know, if there's a wee germ of life in you, it'll shoot a wee bud forth someday. It'll come forth. It says then on down here, he says, if we go then, it says, verses 16, "Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them." Verses 17, he says, "And then they said unto the blind man, again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes. He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. See, they didn't believe it. You see, you'll have all the articles now, and it was well documented. But as I say, eyewitnesses are now passing off the scene. And then some man will read a book and he'll say, but sure, was that boy really that condition? Sure, how would you really know? Was that really the situation? Was that person really sick? Did that really happen? Like the same whales that say to you, would you have accepted Christ, but are you really saved? He'll not say to you before, hey boy, I don't think you're saved. When you're living like the devil and living in sin, he'll never come and say to you then, are you saved or anything like that? He'll be happy to put up a scarecrow and keep you decoying away. But when you accept Christ, he'll come then and say to you, are you sure? Like these boys here, was he really blind? There'll be a whole interrogation start. Instead of thanking God and glorifying God for a man being healed. But it says then in verses 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And it says, and they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom ye say was born blind? You see, he's still even, you say he was born blind, but was he really? You know, was this really the case? And then it says, how then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. It says then, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. That sounds familiar. You know, what do you call him? T.L. Osborne. He said he was popular. He says I was popular and had a great position in the church. And you know, his wife went to see Brother Branham. And he was afraid to go because his popular friends might have kicked him out of his organization. If you believe such a thing as that, you might get kicked out. You know, because it wasn't a popular thing. And here's these Pharisees of the day, the religious sects of the day, so religious. But if you had anything like this here, you'd be kicked out of their synagogue. Couldn't be anything to do with them. You know, and it's the same as today. It says then again, he says then, they called the man that was blind in verses 24. Then again, called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But I know what he says, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I know I was blind, now I can see. You know, I knew one time I was lost, but now I know I'm saved. Because I accepted Christ as my Savior. You know, every one of us is a role model. When I was growing up, thank the Lord, I had a lot of good role models. I had a lot of good role models in my life. You know, it's one thing, you see, it's wonderful if you see a man living for Christ. And that's an example to you. But if you see someone and you're close to them and they're not living for Christ, it's an awful stumbling block. But you know, you can have all the role models. You can have all the examples. You could be, like the man says, you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. You can have everything. But if you don't accept Christ, it's no use. But you know, I thank God that I had men in my life that were role models. And I looked up to them men, and you know, I seen what they done. You know, I'd say our brother John was a role model in my life. You know, it was when you went up to the farm, our brother John would have been singing songs and he'd have been going to church. He wasn't drinking, he wasn't smoking, he wasn't carrying on like that. My father was a role model. You know, I know he was away from the Lord, but from the time that I was born, he sort of come back to the Lord. Things changed in the house, and I had a role model. It's important as us as parents to be role models to our children, because I can look back in them times and I can see what they done. I can look back and see how my father handled certain situations and how they acted and what they done. They weren't maybe always right. But you know, one thing I do know, that, you know, they brought you to church. One thing I do know, I was saying to Tommy the other day, the tree's still standing in Gilhall. A lot of the trees is all cut down. There's an old oak tree down in the middle of one of the fields. I was looking at it one day, I was there. And we used to go on a Sunday down to that tree to pray. That was a good example. And sometimes in the house we might have been, when there was nobody about, you know, we might have sang and we might have prayed among ourselves. It puts a good atmosphere in the house. You know, it does no harm sometimes. We're all guilty of it, to turn the TV off, turn the gadgets off. Take 2 minutes of your time and pray as a family. It's a wonderful thing to pray and thank God in your house. You will see the change in the situation. You will see the change in the atmosphere in the house. It'll change everything in the house. You know, he said to these boys that, I don't know much about what he was or this or that, but he says, I know one thing, I was blind, now I can see. He gave God the glory. You know, he says then, if we go on over here then until, maybe go to verses 31 now, he says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. You know, they're still disputing among themselves. This caused some fuss. You know, different people have read different accounts of people being healed and saved. And some people will bring it back and say, I can't believe that, because they're so stepped in a situation where they think that God can't do nothing anymore. God wants you to believe in him. God wants you to still accept that he can do anything. You know, I know maybe you've prayed for things. We've all prayed for things and had severe disasters, as it were, severe setbacks. But you know what was good, what Jack Coe said to Gary? He said, your setback is your setup for your comeback. Your setback is your setup for your comeback. If you ever can get yourself gathered off the floor, you'll be better, because you've now had the experience. And if you ever have an experience, there's nobody can take that away from you. An experience is better than anything anybody could ever teach you. An experience is greater, something that's real. And then it says then, I'll maybe go on down to maybe verses 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And we know that God put a blindness upon his chosen people, that me and you, as a wild olive branch, might be grafted in to feed off the original life source. He blinded his own people, that me and you had access into heaven through Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, I'm going to try and not, there's this, I was going to say this thing is laid down, that's the way it would work. You know, we'll maybe go on our Bibles here to the book of Acts, chapter 4. And again, this is another perfect example. We know in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John's gone up to the temple of the mad lame man on the way. And he says he asked for alms and he held out his hands. And this is what they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, not in any organization, not in any prophet's name, but in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, you can't use anything but the name of Christ. If you get away from Christ, you're bait. If you get away from the life source, you're powerless. But if you can get connected to the life source, there's power and authority available. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and we'll read verses 1, maybe down to verses 4, and it says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they had taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was evening tide. Howbeit, many of them which heard of the words believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes
and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them up in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? This is back to the account of Peter and John. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. What did he say? What does happen to Levon when he's filled with the Holy Ghost? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. What happened? You know, they didn't say because we're great fellas, or because we done this, or because we done that, or because we had some great revelation, or because we had some great thing, this is why he's here. No, be it known unto you that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. You know, they didn't say to them, why, you know, you'll have to study for so many years. You'll have to do this. You'll have to sit at the back of the church for so long before you could maybe come up a seat or two. You might have to sit there a while to we figure out what you are, what you're not. No. When they met the lame man, when they met the man crippled, they didn't give him a whole rigmarole. They said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They had nothing else to give him. They said, silver and gold have we known. But we know a lot of organizations today couldn't say silver and gold have we known because they've heaped up treasures on earth. They've heaped up a ball of money on earth, and they've invested money in stuff that churches shouldn't invest money even in. But they'll invest money in things. Heap up treasures. These men said, silver and gold have we none. But that something greater than silver and gold. They had the power of God.
Amen.
They had the anointing of God. And when the power of God was put into action, your man didn't need any money anymore to sit and beg. He was fit to get up and walk. It says he went walking and leaping with them into the temple, praising God. You know, they didn't say, now that you've got this great revelation, you should praise us. No. No messenger of God will ever ask you to praise him. If he does, he's an antichrist. There's only one man sits in seven hills, and he says, you don't need to come to God. Come to me. He believes he's the mediator. But the word of God says there's only one mediator. There's only one man that can take away sins, and his name is Jesus Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in him.
Amen.
Everything's in him that you need. You don't need anything else. But you know, God does send witnesses, and God sends messengers. But a true messenger and a true witness will point you to Christ. He'll not point you to himself. He'll not point you to an organization. He'll point you to Christ Jesus. You know what it says then on down? Be it known unto you all and to all the people in verses 10. We'll read on down to verses 12. It says, be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And another place it says he would become a stumbling block on a rock of offense. You know, when they were building a building, if there was a stone that they didn't like, they maybe didn't want to put it up into the corner, and sometimes that stone become the stepping stone. It become the stone, the lowest stone in the house. It says in the Bible that Jesus made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a man, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It says in Isaiah that he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Boy, he knew what it was like to weep at a grave. He wept at his friend's grave. But you know, when he gathered himself and he went forth and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't need to weep then. The power of God was available. On Sunday, we may have wept at a grave. But someday the power of God, it doesn't matter what you're in or where you've been, if you're buried at sea, buried 6 feet under the ground, under concrete, whatever it is. But when the voice of God calls you, You'll get up out of the grave.
Amen.
The graves are going to empty.
Amen.
There's going to be no more graves. You know, there's going to be no more sorrow in heaven. There's no more mourning. There's no more weeping. There's no more death. Death has been defeated. When Jesus went down into the deepest caverns of the dam, he took the keys of death, hell, on the grave off the devil.
Amen.
But the minute the devil's got a wee bit of time, he's lent a wee bit of time to do his work. But you know, he knows he has but a short time to live. It says he goes about like a roaring lion. He goes about trying to scare you, trying to put harm on you, trying to decoy you, trying to overwhelm you with circumstances. But Jesus Christ has came to set you free. Jesus Christ has came to give you the victory. He says, this is the stone which you builders. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. This is the stone that said, isn't fit to put in the building. This stone that stood on the spot upon him. They whipped him, they beat him, they ripped his back open, they plucked the beard out of his face, and they nailed him to the cross. That's how they dealt with him. That's what they thought of this stone. But you know, it says on down, Peter here, anointed by God, filled with the Holy Ghost and power. He says in verses 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other name. For there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby ye must be saved. No other name. No other thing. There's nothing that can take the place of Christ. You know, if more stuff broke down, I'm not going to go any further because I don't want to tire you. I don't want to go on and on. But you know, there's nothing can take the place of Christ. You know, there's many good prophets in the Bible, but all of them fell short. You know, there's many, you know, this is where the problem has arisen. People, you know, get a prophet and people would nearly make you believe that the man himself's infallible. There's no man infallible but Christ. There's only one man that's infallible, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one. But you know, when God opened up our eyes in the doctrine in Genesis, and we understand the importance of the life blood, then you see the importance of the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ had no sin, no spot of sin, no nothing of sin. It was God's blood. It was created by God to cleanse you and to cleanse me. All we have to do is accept. That's the standard feet and eight. Close your eyes a moment for our pastor to come. If you've got a need tonight or anything in your body, I want you just to put your own hand on yourself, even if you've an ailment, put it on where the ailment is. Or just say in your heart, Lord, you know my situation. The Lord knows your situation. You know, if God could show a man that was a prophet what his brother was thinking, how much more does Jesus Christ not know to be you tonight? He knows every thought and desire of your heart. And all we have to do is ask in faith. Say, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He will do it. Merciful God, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you are a healer and you are a deliverer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us such a great cloud of witnesses, Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word that men have died and bled and suffered that we have this word freely. Lord, let us use it freely, Lord God. Let us put it into action every chance we get. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'll touch, Lord, my brother. You'll touch my sister tonight, Lord. You'll touch each and every one here in this building tonight that has an infirmity. Where their hand is on that infirmity, let the anointing of God go into that now and heal it and deliver it. Lord God, touch the circulation, touch the heart, touch every fiber of the body, touch the blood pressure. Let the blood pressure be normal in Jesus' name. Touch the leg, touch the sinews, touch every fiber of the body, oh Lord God. Let your hand touch the back right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let that back be stronger than it ever was before. Let every sinew in that back come back to the way it should be. Let the bones come back into place. Let everything be normal in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that you are a healer, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're not some fable, but you are a reality. Oh, we thank you that you're Almighty God, and there's nothing impossible for you. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll undertake right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll keep your hand upon our loved ones. Lord, I pray that you'll move upon them tonight in Jesus' name. As we're gathered here, every loved one upon each and everyone's mind tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll touch them, that you'll save them, that you'll deliver them and pluck them out of the enemy's hand in Jesus' name. Whatever the situation may be, take away the desire that may drive them the wrong road. Take the desire out of their heart and out of their mouth and out of their thoughts in Jesus' name. Let there be a new desire come on them. Lord, I pray that the renewing power, the transforming power of God may fall upon them in Jesus' precious name. Save and deliver them, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll keep your hand upon us tonight, Lord, as we travel from this place, Lord. If I've said one thing amiss or out of place, Lord, I pray you'll forgive me, Lord. Let everything that was from you, let it sink into our thoughts and into our minds. Lord, I pray that someone will be encouraged tonight. In Jesus' name, for the glory of God, amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. Is the Lord good?
Amen.
Praise God. The Lord bless each one. Really enjoyed that, Samuel. The Lord bless you. Victoria just wants to thank everyone for the prayers for we Etta. You know, they really got the scare. The wee baby was near gone, to be honest. But the Lord's turned all everything around. And there's a big change in her. And we just believe the Lord's going to bring her the full way right through. Amen. And keep us in prayer as well as I go to see Jenny's mum tomorrow. And we just need the Lord's grace. And it's so encouraging when our brother John preached this morning that we just keep sowing. And then God does the rest of it. Amen. And we just thank the Lord for that. So Wednesday night, we'll be back Wednesday night, 7:30, for prayer and Bible study. And our brother Gary will be preaching next Sunday, coming in the morning. So pray for brother Gary. And then I'll be back on the Sunday night, the Lord willing. And I'm really feeling strong in my heart to invite that man, John Purcell, again for a few extra meetings. And John mentioned about meetings this morning. Maybe it's the Lord's willing it, but we get him here for a few meetings, not just one meeting, but a few meetings, and we could put it in the paper. The paper, you know, I used to put stuff in the paper every week when we used to have the meetings, and it was £10. And it didn't matter what I went down with to the town there to put in the paper, £10. But then one day I went in, it was no longer £10. They were looking about £40. And they didn't know what to charge me then. Then they had to ask this one and ask someone else. There was no more £10. They wanted the cake and they wanted to eat it at the same time. So that's the way it is. But we need to keep going forward anyhow, like a brother said, regardless. It keeps on, isn't that right? The Lord bless you. Pray for all these things. And pray for the services upcoming. And the Lord bless each one.
Amen. Jesus only is our message.